Hare Krishna. We are very grateful for these wonderful devotional performances by our very special guests. You have all very much affected our hearts with your sincerity, your devotion, and your incredible God-given talents. Thank you very, very much. It is what we have witnessed is a revival of the true spirit of art. All these various forms of art, what today is called entertainment, is unfortunately simply to occupy one's mind and give one some sense of gratification. But the origin of art is Krishna. How Krishna, Sri Radha, the gopis, the gopas, they're dancing, they're singing, making of beautiful floral arrangements, painting, their poetry. It's all for the purpose of expressing the love of the soul for Krishna, for God. And within this world, it is the beautiful medium by which we help to awaken that love of the soul for Krishna within our hearts. I noticed in your performances the wonderful reason that Krishna appeared in so many forms was to relieve those who were in crisis. Gajendra and Draupadi. Kurma, Matsya, Varaha, Narasingha Dev, Parasuram, Ramchandra, Vamana, Krishna Balaram, Buddha, Kalki. They all came when good people were being exploited. When there was obstacles that were impossible to overcome. And the Brahmins, the devotees, the devatas, they would, in a helpless and humbled state, seek shelter of the Supreme Lord. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. He's the very best well-wishing friend of everyone. And he's seated within the heart of every living being. But the power of Maya within this material creation causes almost irresistible and insurmountable distractions from total absorption in the loving service of Krishna. That's actually the nature of the soul. Total absorption in remembering Krishna. and serving Krishna with love. At every moment, Maya presents alternatives. And we find in these various scriptures and the narrations presented to us by these wonderful young ladies that even the greatest persons like Brahma and Shiva, the greatest of the rishis like Narada, Devala, Sita, Parasara, they're put in situations, or they're seeing others put in situations that are impossible. As we saw, Gajendra, such a powerful king, at the least expected moment, was defeated by a little crocodile. If it was on the land, Gajendra could have crushed that crocodile with one stomp of his foot. But Krishna arranged so it was in the water. So humiliating, so embarrassing. In utter helplessness, he remembered his previous life and the blessings he received from the great souls, and wholeheartedly took shelter of Krishna by offering prayers of love. And Krishna appeared. Similarly, Krishna appears within our heart only when we turn to him in that spirit. Therefore, the troubles of this world are opportunities. If it wasn't for the troubles in this world, birth after birth after birth, we would remain complacent. Difficulties would come, and somehow or other we would struggle and resolve them and go on with our life. But that's not our purpose. And the culmination of all of Krishna's avatars is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes in the most desperate condition. Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur and his brothers, Srila Haridas Thakur, they saw what was coming in this age of Kali. It was already happening. So-called religion was simply based on egoistic scholarship, egoistic tradition and ritual, based on artificial physical designations, artha, kama, dhamma, moksha, people approaching God for all mundane things, and when they get frustrated, they want to become God. Sri Advaita Prabhu and these devotees, they pray day and night for Krishna to appear, to bring light in the darkness of this age of Kali. And Lord Chaitanya, as predicted in the Vedic scriptures, he appeared with the weapons of the holy names and his loving associates to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. And whatever's left at the end, Kalki avatar, performs his leelas. Lord Chaitanya and his associates were performing their kirtan very intimately, privately in the house of Srivas. It was none different than the Rasa Leela of Sri Vrindavan, because everyone there was an unalloyed, wholly surrendered devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, the emotions of those kirtans could never be understood by an ordinary person. At Srivasangam, the devotees and the Lord were most intimately exchanging their love for one another. And all the various rasas of Sri Braj Bhumi were manifested as they cried and chanted the holy names in Sankirtan. It was when people were blaspheming Srivats, threatening him to destroy him, his family, and his home because they were envious. There were so many threats, so much lying propaganda against all Lord Chaitanya's devotees in Navadvip, that the innocent people were begging and crying, Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to us. We're surrounded by these blasphemers, by these arrogant so-called religious people and scholars who are so proud they can't understand who you are. Please save us. They came with gifts. Lord Chaitanya, with great compassion, he gave them himself in the form of simple instruction. Go back to your homes. Chant the names of Krishna. Discuss Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Serve Krishna. Worship Krishna. Krishna is truly your friend. He's your mother. He's your father. He's your wealth. He's your life and soul. Help each other to remember Krishna and chant his holy names. Whether you're walking, whether you're sitting, whether you're sleeping, whether you're eating, if you're family, if you're in a large group, if you're all alone, if you're just with a few people, chant the names of Krishna. Clap your hands. If you have instruments, play instruments. Chant the names of Krishna. They had so much faith, they all did it. And then Smarta Brahman community, as well as the Mughal king, Chand Kazi, the governor, they were outraged. They were, in fact, the Chand Kazi sent hundreds of soldiers all day, every day, just searching for anyone who was chanting the names of Hari. They would be beaten, plundered. Some were imprisoned. Everything that was taken away from them, their families were totally broken. And the people went to Lord Chaitanya. They were just following what he asked. Lord Chaitanya smiled, said, go on chanting. And they did. But it was an emergency situation. They were coming in helplessness. They were simple people. They had no weapons. They were under the constant oppression and surveillance of militaries, armies.
and spiritual scholarly leaders
who were forbidding them. What could they do? They just cried for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. We're just trying to please you. And it was in that situation that the Harinam Sankirtan movement advented into the public. When Mahaprabhu invited all the people of Navadvipa and all of the devotees to come to his house with torches to chant the holy names on procession to the house of Chankazi. They were fearless. They came. And Chankazi, who's an incarnation like Kamsa, Kamsa was like him. Krishna liberated Kamsa in one way, but Namo Mahapada Nyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Tveshe Namaha. But Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. He never killed anyone, even the greatest demons. By his mercy, by his grace, he killed the demoniac attitude within the heart and liberated them to realize their eternal loving nature as pure devotees. Still, there was people criticizing. Still, there was people who were escaping the mercy of the Lord. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. At every stage, everything he was doing was out of compassion. Paramakaruna pahundui jana nitai gora chandra. Lord Chaitanya is supremely compassionate. Yesterday, we concluded our narration with King Prataparudra on the rooftop of his palace, along with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinathacharya, witnessing the kirtan of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So beautiful, so sweet, so filled with love and devotion. King Prataparudra was astounded. I've never, ever seen anything like this. How could it be? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he told, what you are seeing is the special creation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prem Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names in ecstatic love of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada would say that the goal of chanting, and the process of chanting, are essentially the same. The purpose of chanting is to attain love of God. And when we attain love of God, what do? We endlessly, ecstatically chant the holy names. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. This chanting of Hare Krishna mantra has descended from Goloka Vrindavan. There are no conditioned souls in Goloka Vrindavan. There are no demons. There is no exploitation. There was absolutely no material suffering in Goloka Vrindavan. So why are they chanting there? Because that's eternally the way all of the devotees express their love for Krishna, for Sri Radha. They share Krishna and Sri Radha's grace in the form of Sankirtan. And because they're chanting with love from their divine, eternally liberated spiritual hearts, it brings the highest happiness to Krishna. So simple. In this world, there are so many things we're trying to achieve, trying to get money for projects and trying to build things and try to control our senses. But in this spiritual realm, if we could simply chant the names of Krishna with feelings of love, that's the most intimate offering that Krishna accepts. And anyone could do it. Dina hina yata chilo harinam udhari lotara saksi jagai madhai. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda taught that in this world, the greatest way to show our love for Krishna is helping others to love Krishna by spreading the glories of the holy name of the Lord. So what was Prataparuja seeing from that rooftop? He wasn't just seeing people who loved Krishna. He was seeing people who loved Krishna so deeply and so truly that they had the ultimate compassion for all living beings. Advaitacharya was there. Srivas Thakur and his brother, Sri Ram, Sri Pati, Sri Nidhi, for years, feeling the pain of the conditioned souls, they were crying to Krishna to come and help them. They themselves were happy. But how could they be happy with all of their brothers and sisters and so many species of life forgetting Krishna? Haridas Thakur was in that procession that Prataparudra was seeing. He was dancing in ecstasy. Previously in Fuliagram, Thakur Haridas, he was so enthusiastic to preach because of his compassion, to spread the holy names of the Lord. He chanted at least 192 rounds a day, 300,000 names, and still he had time to go out and bring tens and thousands of people to the path of pure bhakti. That was the result of his chanting. His ecstatic love for Krishna flowed toward the conditioned souls. And when there were so many complaints against Haridas Thakur, he was brought before the king. The king said, Haridas, just stop this chanting. Stay in your cave. Chant alone. But don't go out in public and try to teach others. If you just keep to yourself, we'll leave you alone. But if you do this, they will beat you, torture you till your death. Think about it. What would you tell the king? Haridas Thakur smiled. He said, ah, just see the power of Vishnu's Maya. You have such illusion. There's one God. What is this? that one God is being glorified in the Holy Quran, that one God is being glorified in the Puranas and the Vedas. He's the supreme father, the mother, the source of everything that exists, and the ultimate shelter of everyone who has many names, who comes in many forms at different times. But if you chop my body into hundreds of pieces, every one of those pieces will be sharing the holy names of Lord Hari with the conditioned fallen souls. How could I live when everyone else is suffering? Do whatever you want with me. Another person who was in that kirtan was Vasudev Dutt. Later on, we will hear his prayers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let the sins and the bad karmas of every living being in the entire universe fall on my head. I pray, bless me so that I can suffer perpetually hellish conditions so everyone else could get liberated and go back home, back to Godhead to be with you. That was the mood Vasudev Datta was chanting. This is what Prataparudra was saying. The most selfless, compassionate, humble people in the world. Why? They had these qualities because they loved Krishna. They imbibed the spirit of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And this is what composed what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya declared to be Prem Sankirtan. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told the king that the Supreme Lord Krishna has descended into this world as Lord Gaur Hari, especially to inaugurate and to spread this Prem Sankirtan movement. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sango Pangusha Parashadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayaya Yajandihi Sumeda Saha. He cited this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That in this age of Kali, Krishna appears not in his eternal sham, darkish complexion. He comes in a golden form to taste the sweetness of his holy name and to spread the sweetness of his holy names along with his dear associates. Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Hosadodado Gododa Ye Pushpabando Chitro Sando Tamonado. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared like the rising sun and the moon simultaneously in the horizon of Godadesh to remove all the darkness of the ignorance of this age of Kali. The king asked, whatever you're saying about Lord Chaitanya being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, the source of all incarnations, I understand. And you've proven it on the basis of scriptures. It's clear and it's evident. But why there are so many even Vedic scholars who do not recognize Lord Chaitanya? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, because it is not by study, it is not by intellectual knowing that we can ever know the Lord. It is only possible when the Lord is pleased to reveal himself to us. This message has very, very great meaning as we follow through this wonderful lila of King Pratap Maruja's deliverance. Then the king said, where are all the devotees going? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gopinathacharya, they said they're all going to see Lord Chaitanya. He said, well, why aren't they going to the temple? And what is this I'm seeing? Who are these two people coming with garlands? Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda personally were sent by Lord Chaitanya to put garlands on Advaita and Srivas and the other Vaishnavas. They were all offering obeisances to each other. Everyone was embracing each other as they were walking toward the Singhadwaram of Jagannath's temple toward Lord Chaitanya's house, Gambira. Lord Chaitanya came out and met them on the road. Such a beautiful sight this was. After years of separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees are now being met on the simple roadside of Jagannath Puri. They're all offering obeisances. Lord Chaitanya is picking them up. Every single devotee he's embracing. Every single devotee, he's placing a garland around their necks and anointing all their limbs with sandalwood pulp. Then he takes them all to the house. King Prataparuja Singh, Vaninath Rai, and others are bringing large quantities of prasad. Sarvabhauma said, Lord Chaitanya is going to give them prasad. The king said, this is not according to the regulations of visiting a holy place. When you first come to the holy place, you're supposed to fast and shave. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, that's true. But that's an indirect order of the Lord that's given in the scriptures. But direct order of the Lord has prominence over an indirect order. Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all the Vedic literatures, is personally telling them, eat prasad. Who would follow rules and regulations when the Lord is giving you prasad with his own loving hands? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted all the devotees. There's a beautiful description of this in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Each one, they were all crowded in his room and crowded in the courtyard around his room. Over 200 devotees and more people were appearing. And for each one, Lord Chaitanya was embracing, he was giving garlands, and he was glorifying. Time and again we find Lord Chaitanya, how he loves to glorify his devotees. Sometimes he glorifies as if he has five mouths. Sometimes many mouths. Sometimes he's glorifying his devotees with such enthusiasm, it's as if he has thousands of mouths. Can you imagine seeing this? This is actually something we have to take seriously. We have to take it literally. We only have one mouth. Our capacity is to glorify someone with one mouth. But Lord Chaitanya could glorify with thousands of mouths simultaneously through his one mouth. That's his love. Srila Prabhupada, in one beautiful conversation, he spoke about when he was a little boy, and his father used to tell him that when Krishna wants to take away from you, he takes with 10 hands, and you only have 2 hands to try to protect it. In other words, if Krishna wants to take away, there's nothing you could do.
And if Krishna wants to give you, he gives with 2 10 hands,
and you only have 2 to receive it. And Srila Prabhupada explained how later in his life, that's exactly what happened to him. At the end of his days as a grihastha, his whole business was totally plundered by people who cheated him. He had nothing left. He became a vanaprastha. He tried to start a project in Jhansi, spent a whole year developing it. And what happened? It was all taken away in one day. There was nothing left. He lived in that little room in Radha Damodar and at the Bamsi Gopal temple before. And somehow or other, he got that little passage on the cargo ship. He said that he wrote over 1,000 pages of translation and commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. There was only 1 copy. And it was stolen, never to be seen again. And when he was at the Bowery, he said, "I was loitering in New York City with no friend, no means, and no home, just depending on Krishna." He said, "Krishna took everything away from me, and there was 100 hands, and there was nothing I could do with my 2. And he said, "Now?" He said, "We have centers all over the world and millions of books and thousands of devotees." He said, "Now Krishna's giving with 10 hands. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from his heart of hearts, was appreciating each and every devotee, knowing the finest details of their sacrifice and their love. He was glorifying Advaitacharya, glorifying Srivas Thakur. He turned to Vasudev Dutt. He said, "Your younger brother is Mukunda Dutt. And Mukunda Dutt has been my dearmost friend from my earliest childhood. But I'm more happy to see you than I am to see Mukunda Dutt." Vasudev Dutt, he said, "Mukunda Dutt is so fortunate. He's been your friend throughout his life. And because he received your mercy before me, even though he's my younger brother, I consider him to be my senior. He is most fortunate." You see, devotees, and this is something that's hard to understand, unless we love Krishna, then it's easily understood. Devotees love to glorify others more than they like to be glorified themselves. Here's Lord Chaitanya praising the devotees, and the devotees are not... they're humbled by it. Their response is talking about how fallen they are, and they just want to glorify other devotees and give all credit to other devotees. This is Vaishnav community. Something to put on the pedestal of our aspirations of life. Lord Chaitanya asks, "Where is Murari Gupta?" Murari Gupta was quite a few years older than Lord Chaitanya. He was a very great scholar. He was an incarnation of Hanuman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa said he's a doctor, an Ayurvedic doctor. But anyone who considers him just a doctor will be doomed to ignorance. Because whoever he contacts with, he heals the body and the mind and the soul. Whoever comes in contact with Murari Gupta is given ecstatic love for Krishna. How the Lord glorifies his devotee. Where is Murari? And even after getting glorified so much in Navadvip, Murari Gupta's outside the door hiding because he felt so completely unqualified to come anywhere near Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya had to bring him over. Lord Chaitanya sat him at his side. Lord Chaitanya personally with his own hands was cleaning his body, praising Murari Gupta. And as he was being praised, Murari Gupta was more and more humbled by that. Then Lord Chaitanya asked, where is Haridas Thakur? Nobody saw Haridas Thakur. And then somebody discovered he was out on the public road, some distance away, laying in his prostrated dandavat position, offering obeisances and prayers, crying. Lord Chaitanya said to the devotees, bring Haridas here immediately. The devotees went, Haridas, Lord Chaitanya is calling you. And Haridas said, I'm a malecha, I'm a yavana, I'm abominable, I'm so fallen. I can't go there because his house is so close to Jagannath's temple. I cannot contaminate it in that way. Just ask the Lord if I could have a solitary place somewhere close to the temple where I can see the chakra. They came back and told Lord Chaitanya, and he understood Haridas's heart. And after spending many hours meeting all the devotees, welcoming them to his home in Puri Dham, then he personally went out to where Haridas Thakur was lying on the roadside. He lifted him up. Haridas said, you should not touch me. Lord Chaitanya said, I am touching you to purify my own life. You're constantly chanting Krishna's holy names. Then Lord Chaitanya personally brought Haridas Thakur to a small secluded garden and told him, this will be your place. From here you can see the chakra of Jagannath's temple. Without disturbance, you could chant the holy names of the Lord. And every day I will personally come here to bring prasad for you and spend time with you. Time and again in the leelas of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya was remembering Haridas. Practically whenever there was prasad, Haridas would not be there. He would be hiding. And Lord Chaitanya, before he would take even a morsel for himself, he would put aside prasad for Haridas Thakur and arrange someone to bring it to him at the right time. Because Thakur Haridas had taken complete shelter of the Lord, the Lord was constantly remembering him, constantly serving him. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to the Jagannath temple very early every morning, darshan, kirtan. And after many hours, he would receive the Mahaprasad of Jagannath. And directly from there, Lord Jagannath himself in his beautiful moving form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu would go to Haridas Thakur's garden and present Jagannath's prasad to him. Haridas never had to leave his place. Lord Chaitanya was so happy with him sitting there chanting the holy names, he didn't have to go anywhere for anything. The Lord would personally arrange it. not through others, himself. His love for his devotees. When he saw it was very hot and sunny, Lord Chaitanya brought a toothbrush from Jagannath Mahaprasad and pushed it in the ground. Immediately, it grew into a sacred Bakula tree. Still there today. Haridas Thakur would chant under that tree throughout the day, every day in ecstatic love. Under that tree, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his wonderful leelas with Haridas Thakur. Rupa Goswami came to live under that tree. Sanatan Goswami came. In Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya was truly serving every devotee in the most intimate, loving ways. They took bath in the ocean together. They came back and had prasad together. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took them to the temple of Jagannath. Jagannath was not giving his darshan at the time. He was still being prepared for the Rath Yatra, the Anabhasara. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had kirtan in the temple. Then they came outside to do parikrama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his devotees into four groups, four sankirtan parties, each with two mridangas and eight kartals. They were chanting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing with them in ecstasy. Everyone was witnessing the beautiful dance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every limb of his body was exhibiting the Mahabhav of Sri Radha's love for Krishna. And never before was it revealed for even the most common people to witness and be transformed. The servants of Jagannath, the pilgrims, the residents of Puri, the tourists, everyone was seeing Lord Chaitanya dancing. And whoever saw his dance was infused with prem ras. When they came to the rear side of Jagannath's temple, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in the center, and all the four kirtan parties came together to sing. And then a great miracle took place. Everyone who was dancing on all four sides in all directions was seeing Lord Chaitanya personally, only looking at them. He's Rasaraj. He's the king of loving exchanges. There's no limits to how Krishna can intimately reciprocate with his devotees' love. Every devotee was thinking, he's only looking at me. Kaviraj Goswami reminds us that this was non-different than when Krishna was sitting on the banks of the Yamuna in Vrindavan, surrounded by thousands and thousands of cowherd boys, all taking prasad together. And every cowherd boy was thinking, Krishna's only looking at me. Next morning was a festival called Netrotsava, which is the life and soul of the devotees. Because Lord Jagannath was not seen for approximately 15 days. On the day of Netrotsava, the festival for the eyes, Lord Jagannath gives his darshan. Generally, Lord Chaitanya would always stand beside the Garuda Stamba. And in front of that is the Jagamohan, the Kirtan Hall, and then there's the altar, and there's Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra Mai giving darshan from their beautiful thrones. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was told by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this is what you should do. And he followed it very carefully. But on the day of Netrotsava, he could not follow such a rule. He hadn't seen Jagannath in 15 days. A moment is like 12 years or more. A moment is 1/12 of a second, nimesh. How many seconds in a day? How many nimeshas in a day? I'm not a mathematician. I don't know how to use calculators. But it's incredible just to think about it. A nimesh is 1/12 of a second. The amount of time when you involuntarily blink your eye that your upper eyelid touches your lower eyelid. And for Lord Chaitanya in Yugayatam Nameshena Chakshusha Pravrishayatam, that moment was like a yuga, or 12 years, Prabhupada writes. So 15 days. How long was that for Lord Chaitanya? And now Jagannath is giving his darshan again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led. They came to that temple early in the morning, and there were crowds of people. Kashishwar Pandit was clearing the people away. Lord Chaitanya had Brahmananda Bharati and Paramananda Puri in front of him, Advaitacharya and Swarup Ramarikar Swami on both sides of him, and all the other devotees were behind him, and they were entering in the temple with such anticipation, such expectation, such excitement to just surrender their hearts to Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya just went right by the Garuda Stamba and went right to the place where the bhoga is offering to Lord Jagannath, the closest place. And there they had the darshan of Sri Jagannath. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful lotus-like eyes that stretched practically to his ears. They were like very thirsty honeybees seeking the nectar of Lord Jagannath's beautiful, supremely beautiful lotus-like eyes. Lord Sri Gauranga gazed without blinking for hours and hours upon the beautiful face of Lord Jagannath, and all the devotees were doing the same. And when it's time for a bhoga offering, Lord Chaitanya would have kirtan with all the devotees. And as soon as the bhoga offering was complete, again they came to be gazing upon the beautiful form of Jagannath. Krishna reveals himself according to our love, according to our sincerity. So many times we read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is seeing Krishna standing in his threefold bending form, playing his flute. In the darshan of Jagannath. Afternoon, they went to take their baths in the ocean. Have any of you taken your bath in the ocean yet? It's a very important part of pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri. But please be careful. Because not only are the waves of ecstatic love of God flowing everywhere in Puri, but you know that those waves can also do other things. So be careful. Actually, our Shastra tells, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadweep to come to Puri, Ganga felt great separation. Because Krishna performed his leelas with the gopas and the gopis of Vrindavan on the banks of Yamuna, Ganga Devi wanted to offer that same intimate service. So she prayed. She prayed. Yamuna, she's so fortunate. May I follow in her footsteps and serve you, my Lord, the way she is. And the Lord fulfilled her desire. Krishna in the form of Krishna with the bhava of Sri Radha, with their eternal associates of Sri Vrindavan Dham, came to Navadweep to perform their leelas on the bank of the Ganga. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the Ganga. The ocean was praying. The ocean was also praying. Ganga and Yamuna have such nice service, even I want to serve like that. So Lord Chaitanya came to the ocean, and Ganga Mai, she was feeling so much separation, she was rushing to merge into the ocean so that her waters could be part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Jagannath Puri pastimes. Lord Chaitanya called for Tulsi, who was the superintendent of the temple, and Kashi Mishra and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and said, tomorrow I want to cleanse the Gundicha temple. Please provide for me brooms and pots for water. The devotee said, we will do anything you say, but we can clean the temple. This is not befitting for you to be cleaning temples. But the Lord, he expressed his desire. And the next day they had 100 brooms and 100 pots. And in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered his devotees and personally... This is such a beautiful... We can't take anything lightly or for granted. Every single precise detail of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna's leelas is infinitely deep and full of ras. But Lord Chaitanya personally gave a broom to every devotee. How significant is that? By giving a broom, he's giving them the highest benediction of rendering the simplest, most menial servant that even he's longing to do for Lord Jagannath. And everyone was sweeping. Lord Gauranga was sweeping with such enthusiasm, it appeared that he had 100 arms. He was showing the enthusiasm in which we should clean our hearts. Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to tell, what is Lord Chaitanya's message in this pastime of the cleansing of Gundicha? Lord Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura. And then later, instead of coming back to Vrindavan, which all the Vrijabhasis, they were expecting him to come back in a few days. He gave a promise that he would return in a few days. Nanda Maharaj left with some of the cowherd men and the gopas to go to Mathura with Krishna. And Yashoda Mai and Gopi stayed behind, and it was impossible. We know the story of when Akrura took Krishna away. The gopis, they were laying their body in front of the wheels of the chariot. It was unbearable for them. the most pathetic weeping and the tears of imminent separation. Even Krishna, it was impossible for him to even leave. He was so captured by the loving sentiments of the Brijvasis. Somehow Rakura had to just get him out. What kept them alive was that promise. I'll be back in a few days. But years passed. And then they get news. He moved to Dwarka, which is Mathura's close by. But Dwarka is very far away. It's in the ocean. And then the gopis get news that he's married 16,108 princesses, and now they've all become queens, and he's built magnificent palaces for each and every one of them, and every palace is more magnificent than Indra's palace in Swargaloka. These queens are very refined, very aristocratic. And the gopis are just simple village girls. It seemed hopeless. But still Krishna's promise gave them hope. And Krishna's love, remembering Krishna's words, remembering Krishna's smiles, remembering Krishna's lilas, remembering Krishna's wonderful, wonderful relationships that he had with each and every one of them was what kept them alive. And then they received the message. After so many years, Krishna's inviting you to meet him in Kurukshetra to observe the solar eclipse. So the Rath Yatra is taking Krishna from his Aishwarya Dwarka Leela back to Vrindavan. It's the love of the heart of the gopis expressed of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. Gundicha represents Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya in this mood, if Krishna's coming to the Gundicha temple, it must be perfectly spotless and clean and refreshing and cooling and pleasing to Lord Jagannath. That was the mood in which they were cleansing. And we are taught that this applies to us, each of us, because the heart is the temple of Krishna. And Krishna is in the heart of every living being. But Krishna will only reveal himself if our heart is a perfectly clean place. Through satsang, association of devotees, through sadhana, performance of the 9 processes of devotional service, through seva, our whole goal of life is to cleanse the heart, to make it a clean, pleasing place for Krishna to reside. And what is the dirt in our hearts? Lust, anger, envy, greed, arrogance, and illusion. And then there's finer aspects of that dirt in the form of the desire for prestige, the desire for fame, the desire for all sorts of subtle mental enjoyments. Lord Chaitanya taught, Krishna will never reveal himself if those things enter in our heart. Chaito tarpanam marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. The chanting of the holy names is the prime benediction for all humanity, because there is no greater way to cleanse the heart than sincerely crying out for Krishna. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatobi va yasmare pundari kacham sabhayabhyantara suchi. That Krishna is all pure. And whatever Krishna connects with becomes purified. He is pavitra. And Krishna is none different from his name. Nama chintamani Krishna's chaitanya rasvigraha. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. All the powers, the beauty, the sweetness, the pastimes, the associates, the qualities, the abode. Krishna has made all of those blessings available in his holy names. If we chant with sincerity, without ulterior motives, and we follow in the footsteps of how the great souls are living as they're chanting the holy names, which is the subject matter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. As they were sweeping, Lord Chaitanya was giving instructions, I want you to discover finer and finer particles of sand and dust and straw. And they swept and swept and swept. For hours they swept. Then Lord Chaitanya taught them to take whatever they've swept and put them in a pile outside the temple. And all the devotees put all their dust and all their sand and all their straws in one pile, and Lord Chaitanya put all of his in another pile, and his pile was bigger than everyone else put together. Such an example. And then when it seemed that the temple was immaculate, Lord Chaitanya said, now let's do it again. Searching for even finer particles. This is what he expects of us. So how important it is that we take very seriously chanting at least 16 rounds attentively of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And to have this attitude of seva and gratitude and enthusiasm that Lord Chaitanya inspired in all of his devotees. And by hearing this story, he's inspiring every one of us in the same way. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was satisfied, it was very clean. Then he gave the indication for the water. And hundreds of pots immediately started pouring into the Gundicha temple. They were throwing it on the ceiling. They were throwing it on the walls. They were throwing it on the floors and the cooking places on the altar. There was so much enthusiasm. All the devotees were fully absorbed, engaged. Someone would, from Indrajumana Sarovar, they were bringing water. And the pots were being filled up and then passed from one devotee to another devotee to another devotee. And then some, they came to, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates would throw that water in the Gundicha temple to clean it, bathing the temple of the Lord. And then they take the empty pot and send it back. And then and there was hundreds of pots and it was so much enthusiasm. And no one said a word except Krishna, Krishna. They were so absorbed in serving Krishna that simply by saying Krishna, Krishna, everybody could understand exactly the intention of whoever was saying it. If you needed more water, you'd say Krishna, Krishna. If somebody was getting in your way, you'd say Krishna, Krishna. Perfect communication. You see, when Krishna's in the center, our communication becomes very, very clear. Now, you know, we have communication of smartphones and internets and websites and all sorts of, you know, whatever. And everyone's fighting. Because Krishna's not in the center. Because everyone's putting their own self, their own concern, their own I and mine in the center. Either there's conflict or there's imminent conflict. But when Krishna's in the center, there's perfect harmony. And in Vrindavan, we find when there's conflict, that's an even deeper, sweeter, beautiful form of harmony. How do we understand that? Because it's based on love. There's no envy. Krishna being in the center means whatever pleases Krishna. When we're chanting the holy names in kirtan, this is the mood that Mahaprabhu has given us. Whether we're chanting japa alone or we're having kirtan with 7,000 people in Jagannath Puri, we're all chanting in such a way, invoking the presence of Sri Radha, Hare, and Sri Krishna to be in the center of our relationships, the center of our life, the center of the recognizing Krishna and Sri Radha as the center of all of existence. And all that matters is that we're together for your pleasure, my Lord. That is Nam Sankirtan.
As they washed and they washed and they kept washing,
some devotees, they saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with such an intoxicated, ecstatic state of internal consciousness, cleaning the heart for Krishna's appearance. Jagannath is coming. That devotees secretly poured water on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and collected the water and drank it and even distributed it as they were saying, Krishna, Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually didn't even need the water because he was doing this menial service of sweeping and washing for Lord Jagannath's pleasure was such an intimate expression of love for him that tears were pouring from his eyes. And he was cleaning the whole temple with his tears. Then they let all the water out. And they washed it all again and let all the water out. And then the Lord Chaitanya, with his own cloth, he was shining. He was shining the altar, shining the walls and the floor of the temple, and all the devotees together. Then they went to Narsingha Temple and cleaned that. And then they cleaned thoroughly the whole area outside the temple. Because you see, when you clean your own heart, you have to be very careful. There's things from outside and inside that could come in and pollute it again. The mind is compared to a mirror. When you look in the mirror, you see yourself. But when the mirror is covered with pollution, you think that that pollution is me. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the most powerful means of cleansing the heart. It's like the water. That's like the broom. Srinvatam Sukata Krishna Punja Sravana Kirtana.
By hearing the glories of the Lord, by chanting the glories of the Lord, and by singing the names of the Lord. This is the means of cleansing the heart. But Lord Chaitanya in Gundicha is teaching the spirit, the attitude in which we chant the holy names.
As humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servants of the Lord.
After they cleansed thoroughly Narsingha Temple, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced everyone to chant. There was a wonderful kirtan, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the middle began leaping in the air, tears flowing from his eyes, his limbs trembling, his hair standing on end.
So many ecstatic symptoms. His body was changing various colors. Sometimes his body was hard like wood. Sometimes it was soft like cotton.
Sometimes he was heavier than the universe.
Other times he was so light that people could just lift him and toss him in the air. This is how Lord Chaitanya was manifesting his divine love.
And then Lord Chaitanya turned to the son of Advaita Prabhu and said, Sri Gopal, dance.
Sri Gopal, getting that instruction, danced. Within a moment, he fell to the ground lifeless. Now, Advaitacharya Sadashiva Mahavishnu is the greatest.
He's the leader of the entire Vaishnav community. He's totally detached from anything except the loving service of the Lord in the mood of a devotee.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself worshipped Advaitacharya. When Advaita saw his son laying lifeless on the ground, he ran over and put his son on his lap and saw that Sri Gopal was not breathing. There was no sign of consciousness. Advaita started to cry.
Soon all the devotees felt the same exact experience as Advaitacharya because they all had one heart in their love and care for each other. They all gathered in a tight circle around Sri Gopal, loudly chanting the names of Lord Narasingadev to protect him.
But Sri Gopal just laid there.
Now all the devotees were weeping and louder chanting Krishna's holy names.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likes to give his lessons in such wonderful, dramatic, heart-rending methods. He just let this carry on for some time. Then Mahaprabhu approached Sri Gopal and placed his hand over Sri Gopal's heart and said, Gopal, rise and dance.
And instantly, Gopal blissfully came to consciousness to dance.
And seeing this, the devotees, with even more enthusiasm and ecstatic love, they filled the world with the tumultuous sounds of the holy name. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged prasad for everyone. He wanted to serve everyone. In fact, he started serving everyone. They all had leaves from plantain or bananas, trees. And Mahaprabhu his hand would hold no less than what two or three men could eat. So this was very, because what do you do with all that prasad? And nobody would eat before Lord Chaitanya honored the prasad. So Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "My Lord, no one will take before you. And beside that, your guru is Brahmananda Bharati and Paramananda Puri. They're sitting on raised wooden platforms, and there's one place for you, and they will not start eating until you have prasad." So Lord Chaitanya sat, and he was directing the prasad. As the Paramatma in everyone's heart, Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Charjana. He knows everything about everyone. He knew exactly what devotees wanted to eat. And he was ordering the server to give him shukta. He was giving him exactly what the devotee was feeling in their heart that they wanted to take. He knew it. And he was giving such a wonderful prasad arrangement. And he kept telling them, "Eat more, eat more." And to please him, they kept eating and eating. And meanwhile, the devotees kept giving him more. It's a wonderful pastime. The loving exchanges of taking prasad together in Sri Jagannath Puri. Jagannath's prasad. The next day was Ratha Yatra. But I'm going to end here because we have with us His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Swami Maharaj. He's born and raised in Jagannath Puri. I never asked him, but probably in the womb of his mother, he was eating Jagannath prasad. Now he's traveling, he's written so many wonderful books about Jagannath Puri Dham and so many other wonderful Vaishnava contributions. But especially today, we're very grateful because for so many years, he brings thousands and thousands of people to Jagannath Puri to give wonderful parikramas. And there's another person who's also, these are the two supreme inspired and empowered narrators of Jagannath Puri's glories. Loved throughout the world, His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj and His Grace Madhavat Nanda Prabhu. They are. And whatever I can say is just what to say. I'm trying to describe the taste of honey from the outside of the bottle. But now we are going to get entrance into the deepest recesses of the bottle of the nectar of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leelas in Jagannath Puri from His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Swami Maharaj.
RG Media YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe.